Hiya, folks. It's time to put your mouse ears on for the Mouse Ears Podcast with Brooks, Kara, Kelton, and Steph, where we discuss all things travel, but mostly Disney. Brought to you by Fairy Tale Journeys Travel. Welcome back, everybody, to the Mouse Ears Podcast. On today's podcast, we are talking about some of the latest news that has been announced by Disney, and we're also talking about the Disney 100 celebration. I've got here with me my co-hosts, Brooks. How you doing, Brooks?
Howdy ho, neighbors.
Steph, how are you, Steph?
Happy to be here, guys.
And we have back with us once again after his trip to Disney World. It's Kelton. How are you, Kelton?
It is finally good to be back. I'll say that much.
It's okay. You can say you'd still rather be in Disney. We all completely understand.
I would still rather be in Disney.
But we are glad to have you here.
Yeah, I'm happy to be back.
Yeah.
We miss you, Kelton.
So like I said, we are going to be talking about the Disney 100 celebration that kicked off earlier this year in Disneyland, but has been happening actually at all six parks across the globe, and is in Disney World. It's centered in Epcot. That's really kind of where the majority of the celebration is taking place. But before we get into that, like I said, we're going to go over some of the latest news. So today is, what's today? October 26th that we're recording this. So this is all stuff that's come out this week. So first we can talk about how on the newest cruise ship, the Disney Treasure, there is going to be a Haunted Mansion themed bar and lounge. Now
I am excited for this one.
It's like a collective dream of millions of people has come true.
Which, you know, there's so much love for Haunted Mansion, but the fact that there isn't some sort of immersive experience beyond the ride is beyond me. So yeah. I'm excited about this one, too.
Yeah, and the pictures that have come out look just super cool. I mean, this is going to be so hugely popular on the Treasure. Next, we've got Blizzard Beach is reopening on November 6th. So it's been closed for refurb and Typhoon Lagoon has been open. So now they're going to do the switch where Blizzard Beach is reopening November 6th. And now Typhoon Lagoon is going to be closing for its refurb. So if you're visiting after November 6th and you're planning to go to the water parks, you'll be going to Blizzard Beach, which makes sense as we head into winter. And big news out in Disneyland. This has been coming for a while, but they announced the official date of Paradise Pier. So the Hotel Paradise Pier, which is one of the three Disney hotels out there in Disneyland. It's been under this transformation to Pixar Place, and it is going to officially open as Pixar Place Resort on January 30th of next year. So that's coming really soon. They're just kind of doing finishing touches. What do you guys think about what you've seen of Pixar Place?
The I think it's such like a great look, hit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the pictures look incredible.
Yeah.
They really do.
Yeah.
And in the words of John Hammond, Disney has spared no expense on Pixar Pier, at least from the pictures. So
I like that.
I'm hoping it'll be the same.
Yeah. We actually we got a little preview when we were there in August of the pool area anyway. We were able to go up there and that was done. So it's super cute. Really, really nicely done, nicely themed pool area. So, and the rest of it looks great. And, you know, who doesn't like a refurbed room? Just, you know, newer and all that kind of thing. That's always nice. Then we've got another pretty big announcement in Disney World, the return of Disney After Hours. And that is coming back, I was going to say starting in January. That's January, right? Or is it February?
Yeah, I think it runs like January 11th.
Okay, or through April. Like
through early April, yeah. April 8th. And so I'm actually looking at some of that right now. And of course, you got your ticket prices that vary. But mm-hmm. I mean, everything's open. And I even read, and somebody correct me if I'm wrong, but I did read that for the after hour events only, that they were going to get rid of the virtual queue just for the after hour events. So that'll be kind of nice.
Yeah, I'll tell you what I heard. I heard slash read that Enchantment is coming back for the Magic Kingdom after hours. So that, you know, if, for those that enjoyed Enchantment, Kelton, I'm looking at you, you'll be able to go back and experience it during Magic Kingdom After Hours.
Did you not listen to our Guys Night podcast?
Well, the really cool thing about the really cool thing about that is if you love fireworks, you'll get to see two totally separate fireworks shows in one night, which that's really cool. So if you go to the Magic Kingdom After Hours and you get there early enough to see Happily Ever After, and then everybody leaves, you're there for after hours, and then you get to see Enchantment. So come on, two Disney fireworks shows in one night. That's pretty awesome.
And that only happens around the holidays. Usually it's 4th of July and New Year's. You get both the scheduled one, which Enchantment or Happily Ever After, and the holiday one. So that's going to be even just as cool. So I'm looking forward to that too. And hopefully when we are all there, in February, I think we should just go ahead and fork the money for the after hour event.
Yeah.
Well, I plan on it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so that's happening. After hours are happening in Magic Kingdom, Hollywood Studios, and Epcot. So there's various dates. It's not every night, but it's certain dates, and there's certain pricing and all that kind of thing. So
I was kind of surprised they added in Epcot, because it was just Magic Kingdom and Hollywood Studios the last time.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool.
It's very cool. They probably want, you know, people want to get on Guardians of the Galaxy as much as possible. Well,
who doesn't? I mean, we got to get, you know, that September song. I mean, I don't think I've had that one yet. So got to get on that bad boy.
Yeah. So that's really exciting. And if you have more questions about that, you know, ask us, ask your Fairy Tale Journeys travel agent about that. And then finally, also Disney World announced military rates. So, the military discount is basically the best discount you can get after the cast member discount. So, you know, it's almost worth joining the military.
I'm sorry to tell you, but the discounts the cast members get for their tickets, I mean, the military rates beat it by a lot.
Yeah. Wow.
So definitely for our service members from all of us here at the Mouse Ears podcast, thank you for everything you guys do, guys and gals. But
absolutely.
Make sure that... you know, the military rates are out. You got to get your tickets from whatever base you're at. But definitely check out the rates, because Disney is giving the military service members a heck of a deal.
Yeah.
Definitely always worth checking out.
Well deserved, too.
For sure. Yeah. And Disney has always had this, you know, commitment to our military and our veterans, Walt having been a veteran himself. The way I know that a lot of people wonder this for the military discount, there are three ways to qualify. Either you're active, you know, currently serving, you're 100% disabled. Well, you or your spouse or some, you know, somebody in your family who's going on the trip, or retired after 20 plus years of service. So those are the three ways to qualify. Military families can stay at Shades of Green, which is, you know, its whole own resort for military. We cannot book that. Travel advisors cannot book Shades of Green. However, these military discounts that we're talking about are actually at the Disney hotels. So those we can do. You know, you call us up, contact us, and we contact Disney for your dates and see, you know, what kind of military discount we can get you. And like Kelton said, you get your tickets yourself on your base, or you can call Shades of Green and get them that way. So those are out for 2024. If you're interested, contact one of us, contact a Fairy Tale Journeys travel agent, and we will get you all set up with that. So I think it was quite a few announcements this week, but I think that was everything, right?
Yeah, that really does cover it.
Oh, right.
Yeah, it's a busy week.
Oh, I just remembered one. The Skyliner. They announced
The refurb.
They announced the refurb of the Skyliner. And I know some of my people, anyway, were waiting for this. Because I, you know, anytime somebody wants to book a Skyliner resort in January, I make sure to let them know. Okay, but, you know, just so you know, historically, that's when they do the refurb. And this is late. They usually let us know earlier than this when it's going to be, but just this week they announced Skyliner is going to be down starting January 16th, and it's going to be down to Hollywood Studios through the 21st and to Epcot through the 27th. So the Epcot, you know, leg there of Skyliner is going to be down longer. So that impacts Pop Century, Art of Animation, Caribbean Beach, and Riviera. And of course, buses, our beloved buses, will be the alternate transportation during those dates.
See, when in doubt.
Yeah, it's
listen. Disney bus transportation is always there.
Are there for you always. Save the day. Okay, now, I think that's everything. So, like I said, today we're talking about the Disney 100 celebration. And, you know, anybody who's confused and thinking, wait, they just had the 50th. How can they have 100? So the 50th was for Disney World. Disney World opened in 1971. This 100th celebration is celebrating the 100 years of the Disney company. Walt and Roy started the Disney company in 1923, which is just completely insane for me to try and get my brain around. And the fact that Walt was 21 years old at the time. Like, what were you doing when you were 21? Starting a company that's going to last 100 years? Probably not. Like, just.
I wasn't.
No. Well, of course, there's no way of us to know right now.
It's going to last 100 years. Just because we're at that point. So Walt started 21 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go around the room.
What were we doing?
Steph, what were you doing when you were 21 years old?
You remember, mean other than drinking?
This is a podcast for everybody.
Family podcast.
Of course. 21. Well, I probably was finishing up college and working a lot because I had 2 to 3 jobs most of college to try and put me through my studies. But definitely nothing, I guess, of important significance or life changing by any means.
Hey, you never know. I mean, 100 years from now, we'll see. Kara, 21.
So this is funny. So 21, I was in my junior year of college. It's SUNY Geneseo, which is a little college in upstate New York. And I did go to Disney World that year. And I remember, because I'm dating myself here, but that was 1996. And that was the one time that I went on Tower of Terror, because I always say I went on it once in 1996 and I'll never do it again. So that was that year.
There we go. Brooks, tell us. 21.
Let's see here. What can I legally say I was doing? No. I was mainly, so I was working construction at the time. My family used to run a construction company. So I was working construction during the day. And because I was just a very smart man, I was working at a fun park in Augusta called Adventure Crossing at night, burning the candle at both ends. And that was basically it. Like, I worked, I hung out with friends, went to church. That was basically it.
That's super
exciting.
And I just remembered also 1996 was the year of the birthday cake castle. That was the 25th of Disney World. So, yeah.
Well, AKA my birth year. There is a picture of me. My parents are holding me. I'm in diapers and we're in front of the cake castle.
The cake. Oh my gosh.
The cake castle.
Amazing. So you got to be there. Oh, that's dear. Awesome.
Literally when I was born. Within weeks, months, I was there. I was in Disney. I have Disney in my blood.
Yeah.
I agree. I'm so grateful.
That's what we're doing with Ellie now.
Nice. Love it. Yeah. I love it for her.
Yeah. So that is what the 100 year celebration is about. So it's been going on already throughout the year and it ends in December. It goes through the end of 2023. So that's when it all ends. So, you know, if you go to the parks, if each park, Magic Kingdom, Hollywood Studios, Animal Kingdom, and Epcot, they've got a big 100 out front that you can take your picture with. All the characters are in their platinum 100 outfits. Of course, you know, treats everywhere, all the different snacks and cool desserts and everything like that. You can go see. So one of my tips and tricks that I always tell people is in Epcot, the best spot to meet Mickey, in my opinion, is in the Imagination Pavilion there in Epcot, because so few people know about it. Right now, you can meet Mickey and Minnie in their 100 outfit, which is awesome. Merch, of course, all kinds of merch. They've got the popcorn buckets, the Cinderella popcorn bucket, the
weren't
Mickey.
You just drinking out of a
Disney
100
mug? I've got my 100, you can't see it, but I've got my 100 resort mug, which you can still get at the resorts, purple and silver, super cute, that you can get at all the resorts. Yeah, so you know, it's just this really fun takeover. Now my biggest thing is they brought back Soarin' Over California to Soarin' in Epcot.
Oh, yeah.
And I am hoping against hope that they keep it past December 31st. We have no way of knowing. I'm really nervous that they're going to get, you know, stop it then. Oh, gosh, I hope so much that they keep it. Did you get to go on it, Kelton, when you were there?
So we did not do Epcot. We were only there 2 days.
Okay.
Did Magic and Animal Kingdom. Mm. So that was all fun. No, did not get to do Soarin' Over California. Unfortunately, that was one of my favorite layovers.
Yeah.
What they are doing, will be doing for the festival, the current festival, Epcot Food and Wine. They brought in certain booths that they opened with the starting day of the celebration of the 100th at Walt Disney World, which was on September 22nd of this year. And so I can't remember right now how many booths. I don't know if it's four or five.
Four.
But four. Thank you, Kira. Mm-hmm. One of the booths in particular, Swirl Something. Oh, that one is now a permanent fixture in Epcot. And it took over that one Starbucks that you get as you're getting into World Showcase right before Canada.
Oh, good. Yeah.
So that's the new location for that. And I'm looking for the name now, but that's going to be a permanent fixture for Epcot past the 100. And that'll be implemented for all the festivals. And it's own unique ways, right? But
isn't that kind of over by where the you can get the Dole Whip, the adult Dole Whip as well, kind of just like around the corner there, yes, headed to Canada?
Yes.
World Showcase.
Thank you. Yes.
World they brought, Showcase.
Mm-hmm. And so all over Epcot, you have different banners displayed everywhere with different characters. But my favorite thing that I saw when I went last month was on that walkway from, you know, the seas, living with the land, heading towards the New World Showcase, passing Hawaii. No, scratch the Hawaii. They changed it this year. Anyways, on that walkway against one of the green walls that they have, they put this mural, and it's showcasing all of Epcot, but specifically for 100, because they have not just guests all over this mural, but they have Disney characters, which has been such an important part in the celebration of the Disney company's 100 years, is to give recognition to all the characters that have made this company what it is and brought so many beautiful memories to countless people around the world. So it actually says right in the middle, it's like a giant emblem on this mural, and it says like how many characters, or can you find your favorite character? I can't remember what it says, but I'll put that picture and that video on our Facebook page so that those of you who haven't been able to see it or unfortunately won't be able to go to the celebration at Epcot while it's still there, you'll be able to see that and try and stop the video or the pictures and zoom in and see if you can see some of your favorite characters. They've got Oswald, The Incredibles, Finding Nemo. I mean, they're just displayed all over Epcot, and it's a really, really nice mural that I'm glad I got to see it because it's nice. It's really interesting.
It's cute, and I'll do a little spoiler, but I absolutely love this about this mural is from well, now I'm blanking on his name. Not Kuzco.
Kronk?
Kronk. Thank you. My God. I'm like so blanking. Kronk is on it, and he's right next to the land pavilion. How perfect is that? So that is because Kronk is voiced by Patrick Warburton, and he's the one that does the intro to Soarin'. I just love that they put him right next to there. So it's just like, you know, those awesome little subtle things that, you know, of course Disney is always doing
the Easter eggs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So speaking of characters, so that's parks, you know, that's the celebration in the parks. Speaking of characters, Disney released their short on Disney Plus, which again, I'm blanking. Once Upon a Studio. Oh my God.
Yes.
Once Upon a Studio, which was much anticipated, and boy, oh boy, did it live up to and exceed expectations in my opinion. Oh my goodness. It's like I don't think it's even 10 minutes, this short, but it is so incredible.
I think it's features, 8 minutes.
8 minutes. Okay. It features so many characters. So what, Brooks, when you watched it, what was your reaction?
So I saw the trailer beforehand, and it seemed like just incredible. I was really looking forward to it, and very rarely do I get hyped up about something and it lives up to my expectations. Like you said, exceeded my expectations. And the fact that I think they have 543 characters.
Oh, wow.
From 85 feature length films and the short films is
in 8 minutes.
And yeah.
That's nine.
And,
oh, okay, nine. Well, still. Nine.
Okay. No, that's right. It's right there.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's they fit them all in, and then and also you would think, okay, it's going to seem rushed trying to rush them all in there. It was just one of those that, to me, seemed perfectly paced. And like it literally highlighted the 100 years of animation. I mean, mm-hmm. from very beginning all the way to the future, because correct me if I'm wrong, I believe, is it Aisha from Wish?
Oh,
I think that's her name.
The main Asha, I think.
Sorry.
Yeah.
But has Asha from Wish in there, which I'm looking forward to that movie more and more.
Oh, yeah,
and seeing
me
stuff
too.
With it. But just all the stuff that they fit in there. And then if you haven't seen it, there's this one part that I saw a lot of people kind of making a big deal about. And it's also in the trailer where they're all going by and Mickey stops and he looks up and it's a portrait of Walt on the wall.
You're going to make me cry.
And oh, I cried during it. So get ready. So it's playing Feed the Birds in the background.
Mm.
And Mickey's just looking at him and he's like, well, it's, and they're calling him for the, because they're all getting together to take a picture. And he's like, I got to go and thanks. And I found out after I watched it, the meaning behind them playing Feed the Birds. So that ended up being one of Walt's favorite songs. So much so that on Friday afternoons, he would ask the Sherwin brothers to come into his office and play Feed the Birds on his piano, I think at like 3:45 in the afternoon. Well, even after he passed away, the Sherman brothers would still go into his office on Friday afternoons and play Feed the Birds. So whenever they were creating the short, they asked Richard Sherman, who's still alive, to come in, and he sat down. They still have Walt's piano from his office, and he sat down
in
and
his
played,
office still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He played Feed the Birds on the same piano that he would play it for Walt. Mm-hmm. And that's the recording that they have for the short is mm-hmm. him playing it on Walt's piano.
Ugh. Cue the tears.
Oh my gosh, so, please.
And scene.
Oh, so, I mean, I was sobbing. Like I can't even sugarcoat it. Like I was already crying. Listen, I tear up at Steamboat Willie, like at the beginning of any Disney movie, when they show Steamboat Willie, I tear up. So I was already there. And then it's going through with all the characters. So I'm already crying. And then it got to that part. I couldn't see anymore. I had to watch it multiple times because I couldn't see. I mean, I was sobbing, like catching my breath. Oh my God. It was amazing.
I have literal goosebumps right now. Just talking about this. I'm fighting back tears because we saw a few months ago how the Disney Imagineers, I mean, they make magic happen. Mm. And with that, they did the projection of Walt Disney for their exhibit for the 100th. And that was blew everything out of the park, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like if you ask any Disney adult the infamous question, you know, if you could talk to anyone who's passed, who would it be? Resounding Walt Disney, because the man's a genius. The man has made dreams become a reality, has, you know, the amount of tears people have cried over this man, myself included, because of the magic he's created. And yet you would not think that Disney could, you know, do better than a holograph of this man who has passed. And they shoot you with this one. They create Once Upon a Studio, and they have this interaction between, well, it's not even an interaction. It's just Mickey speaking to a portrait of Walt. Forget it. Just forget it.
Come on, Steph. Stay with us now.
Oh my gosh, you got this. Guys. It was beautiful. It was beautiful. Well, and then
do you guys not talk to the Walt and Mickey statue at Magic Kingdom? I mean, every now and then it's just kind of, you kind of, you know, just walk by and like, you know, be like, thanks for everything, you know, legit childhood dreams
come true.
That
is the sweetest thing you've ever said, Kelton. It's so cute. Do I have that conversation actively? No. Do I think it? 100%. I just think, man, look at what this man has created. I mean, he has literally created happiness. Not an abstract concept, but physically created happiness for people around the world.
All of these things that you're saying are the exact reason why my license plates on my car, thanks, Walt. THX, Walt, that is my license plate.
You take the cake, Kara. send us the link. Send us the link.
I do. I have a picture. I'll post the picture. Yeah.
But now it, I have to see your best cake in South Carolina.
I think it multiple times.
So, Walt and Mickey aside, I mean, just the fact that Disney thought that the best way to celebrate the 100 years was to bring over 500 characters and put them all together for a group shot, because essentially that is what ended up being the whole purpose of this short film.
Yeah.
So that we can commemorate all that the Walt Disney Company has achieved, starting with some of the very first films, which was the one with the trees. I'm drawing a blank on the name. I hope you know what I'm talking about.
Flowers and trees.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yes.
They had those characters there. Mm-hmm. You would not think that.
They did.
You would not think
that.
They were there at the trees, far back to the left. So my point is you would never think that. And then it's not just that you have all these characters in a single image, but you have like this crossover that's happening, this integration that, you know, all of these different characters from different movies crossing over in their genuine animated form. Because animation has changed from movie to movie, the details and the colors and what have you. And they have maintained its integrity in this film.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where for some characters, some of the newer, more modern Disney characters, they were able to make their own lines for the short. But then for the classics, aka Robin Williams, Robin Williams, his voice, his genie was in the short. So paying tribute to some of these characters and their original actors, voice actors, I mean, it just takes it to a whole other level.
They actually got they got permission from his estate to use his voice. And actually, there's two references to Robin Williams in that short, because it's right before the genie comes out, there's a lost boy flying, and it's not one of the original lost boys from Peter Pan. Again, I went on a deep dive on this whole.
Oh, yeah. It's incredible.
Once upon a, it could be a side episode itself, just all the little details. But it's actually a short, I think it's from 1989, and
Peter Pan. 1991 from Disney hit movie Hook. I think is what it is. Is it Hook?
No, it's actually
animated.
No.
Oh, it's animated?
It's actually a different one, and I believe it's 1989. I could be wrong in that, but it's Peter Pan, and then has Robin Williams, and he takes off and he turns into a lost boy flying around, and then he turns animated, and that's the lost boy flying in the hallway right before the genie comes out, and they used like previously unused audio from Robin.
Mm. Incredible. You mentioned also the newest princess, Asha. I loved that they had her holding hands with Snow White, the first and the most recent. I loved that. And then where they're singing at the end, they're singing When You Wish Upon a Star, which please, just waterworks. I mean, just if you want to cry.
Tears.
If you want to like completely dehydrate yourself, just watch this thing. But anyway, they were all singing, and there were like, you know, like Snow White and Asha were singing, and then like another pair was singing, like Beauty and the Beast sang one part. So, you know, they were doing like almost these little duets. Did you notice that the last pair to sing together before they all sang together was Baloo and Mowgli? And I haven't seen anything about this or read anything about it. My theory is they had them last because that was the last movie that Walt worked on himself.
Just continue to pull at my heartstrings.
I know.
I can't take it anymore.
I know. And then there's that one part where the 101, where the puppies from 101 Wild Dalmatians are watching the TV and there's all these shelves around them. You got to pause that because there's so many references like on the shelves to different things, different books and like all these little different things.
That's amazing. I have the list of all the books.
Yeah.
And then also right at the very beginning, you had two animators going out, and one of them was Bertie Madison, and it was dedicated to him because he passed away this year. And the significance of that man as well, like he started working at Disney in the studio mailroom in 1953 as a traffic boy. And he would hand deliver weekly checks of $300 to Walt Disney for his walking around money. And then $300. But he went from working in the mailroom to eventually being promoted to an animator, to becoming a story artist, to directing and producing. He became a Disney legend in 2008. He celebrated 60 years with the company in 2003.
Unbelievable. So,
a true legend.
Yeah. So again, I mean, not just watch it, but watch it again and again. And again, because there's so much to see, there's so much to notice. But we could probably have like a whole separate episode just on that 8 minute, 9 minute short. And then as far as the company being around 100 years, there are so many things that have been accomplished. And, you know, obviously the two biggest things, which is just completely wild to me, is not only Walt didn't just create one thing, he created two things, which are just so huge. He created animated motion pictures. I don't know if people really truly understand, you know, because you're so used to it now. Like, of course, there's full length feature animated films. That was not a thing before him. And he created the modern theme park, and really theme parks in general, because were there, you know, parks to go to before? Yeah, but they were just rides, and it wasn't, you know, it was nothing. Like I always say, you know, calling Disney just a theme park, it's like calling the Grand Canyon a hole in the ground. You know, I mean, it's a whole different thing. So to create two major things that never existed before that we now can't imagine living without, it's a pretty incredible legacy.
So we all know how, well, correct me if I'm wrong, but does everybody know how the whole parks thing came about?
Yes. Well, we do. I mean, you know, we've heard the story so many times.
Why don't you tell us?
Yeah, let me tell them for people who might not know.
This is one of those things that they show you when you go through your traditions class to become a cast member. But one of the things they say is that it was father-daughter day. And so Walt took the girls to the carousel in the park and just sitting there on the bench and wanted to create a place that, you know, parents and children alike can play together. Now, think at about that time. I mean, yeah, you have your amusement parks because, you know, we have places like, you got your Six Flags or your Busch Gardens or, you know, Universal's kind of tilting on the theme park, amusement park type of thing. But, you know, where the theming really, I mean, when you have the different lands that really draw you in, like what Disney does, that's a theme park. That's what you consider a theme park. And so with Walt Disney doing, I mean, at that time, could you imagine? I mean, who would have thought that something like Disneyland would come out of a guy who was just sitting on a park bench, you know, for daddy-daughter day? Like, to me, that's, That's crazy. I don't know.
And I
where would we be without it?
Well, and I think that that's really the biggest thing about Walt is he was a true visionary. Because
absolutely
he would think of these things, but then he had to be obsessive, and he was obsessive about it the way he was obsessive about Snow White. Because everybody, it's so easy to say that won't work, it's never been done, what are you talking about, this is gonna fail. It's so easy to say that, but he was the one saying no. We can do it. Yes, this will work. This is a good idea. And just kept pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing to the point of kind of like, oh my God, like this guy's nuts. But it worked. And thankfully, again, we have to give credit to Roy. We're talking an awful lot about Walt, but my goodness, Disney would not be here without Roy Disney, plain and simple. Walt was the idea guy, the visionary. Roy is the behind the scenes guy, made it happen, truly made it happen. So thank you to Roy as well.
Yes, thank you.
So Kelton, you asked a very important question. Where would we be without the Disney brothers? And the answer is very simple. Not as happy at all. Not as happy.
It's true.
So I don't know if you guys have seen this movie before. If you haven't, I fully recommend it. It's called Walt Before Disney, Walt Before Mickey.
Mm.
And that basically goes through the entire backstory of Walt Disney growing up and how Walt Disney's company created, how his Laugh-O-Grams were created, how his animation was developed, the first movies. It's free on YouTube for anyone that wants to look it up. Mm-hmm. I highly recommend it. Beautiful movie. And it gives you a further appreciation to the man behind the magic and how those things were developed. So just to kind of further emphasize the fact that there are a lot of resources out there to do your own homework. We love to do the homework because it's so interesting. I mean, there are college classes dedicated to the Disney company and the history of Walt Disney as well. So we could
definitely talk
about this for hours.
Yeah, not just college classes. UCF, University of Central Florida's Rosen College of Hospitality Management has their own wing dedicated to Walt Disney and the Walt Disney Company.
Mm.
So, like, you know, that's the big impact, and especially with being, you know, in the Central Florida area where Walt Disney World is. Yeah, it's a big thing.
Yeah, so sorry. No, go ahead, Kara.
So I
go
was ahead. Just, you know, how I was saying, okay, he created full-length animated films and a theme park. Another thing that Disney has, in, you know, I always say this, sets the standard is customer service. And it's included, like what you just said, Kelton, with the hospitality. But it's second to none. It's what every other company is measured by. And they even, like, I remember this was years and years ago now, but I remember when the Super Bowl was held in Indianapolis, they trained all those people. Disney did the training, and it was like the best Super Bowl that ever came off because everybody was so well trained, it ran so well and everything, because Disney was the ones that came in and trained them.
Well, Disney has a standard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's a number of companies that would go in and send their employees to, you know, be trained, because Disney, you have the four keys when I was there, but the five now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a big thing, like, you know, on how to have that guest or customer interaction. And really, I mean, it's kind of a life thing as well. You just treat people kindly type of thing is kind of what it comes down to. I know there was a previous airline before it got bought out, but Continental Airlines, rest in peace to them, actually used to send their customer service agents to Disney World in Orlando, Florida, you know, to train on how to have that interaction with people. So without Walt and the Disney company and all of this, you would honestly just be getting yelled at by a gate agent just trying to board your plane.
Yeah, right. It's true. It's totally true. I don't want to think about a world without Disney, and I am just so thrilled that we don't have to.
Well, we would not be sitting here right now.
No, we would not
have Disney.
No, we would
not. So, in the spirit of us being travel agents and this wonderful topic that is the Disney 100, I feel like this is a good time to bring to the attention some of the major accomplishments that the Walt Disney Company has achieved over the years. And I kind of want to start off with talking about the theme parks a little bit, only because we already talked about it. And I feel like that's just, it's been the home, and I mean emotionally and more than physically, for so many people worldwide. And even though it all started with a mouse, the parks took everything one step further. So
in, I like what you did there.
Thank you. Appreciate it. So in 1955 was when Disneyland Resort in California opened up. July 17th, we'll never forget that date. Then in 1971 was the Walt Disney World Resort, and it first only opened with Magic Kingdom, followed by Hollywood Studios, Epcot, and then Animal Kingdom. I'm not bringing in the water parks for the sake of time and just keeping it to the iconic gates. But then after Walt Disney World, it was Tokyo Disneyland in 1983. Disneyland Paris in 1992. Shanghai Disney Resort in 2016. Hong Kong Disneyland in 2005. And of course, as people know, we've only just branched from there. And Walt Disney Company continues to be innovative and implement new things and create all these wonderful new attractions and immersive experiences. This is then, you know, can be translated to their Disney signature experience of the Disney Cruise Line or Adventures by Disney, because Disney is ingrained in everywhere around the world. So their reach has no bounds or limits. And like I said, the theme parks are iconic. The way that animation, you know, created the brand originally. I think someone wanted to say something about, I don't know. Did someone have anything to say about the parks? Or did I make that up?
You might have made it up. What I'm sitting here thinking about while you're saying all this is, this is going to sound kind of counterintuitive, because some might consider this a failure, but I don't consider it a failure. The Galactic Star Cruiser. So that opened and it is now closing. However, it was the highest rated customer experience Disney has ever had. Like when, you know, customers left feedback, when guests left feedback, they rated it so incredibly highly. And it ended up not working out, not being sustainable. But you know what? To me, it speaks to the spirit of Walt almost more than anything, because they tried it. You know what I mean? Like, Walt, what did he say? Keep moving forward. Curiosity leads us down new paths. They tried it.
You can dream it. You can do it.
Right. They went for it. And it was, people absolutely loved it. And it turned out to not be sustainable as, you know, what it was. But okay, so they tried it. The bigger failure is not trying something, right? So I don't know. I think that really speaks to Walt and what was he was all about, honestly.
And furthermore, on just trying and growing and being innovative and taking us into the future, because that was what Walt was. He was innovative, and he saw things beyond what, you know, everyone else saw. Mm. You know, he saw, he didn't just see opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
He saw a dream, quite literally. And since Walt, there's been a few CEOs, and we currently have the wonderful Bob Iger, who has done so much. Definitely want to recognize Michael Eisner as well, because he did wonders for the company as well. But one of the things that Bob Iger has done that has stood out to me as a fan is all his different acquisitions, because I also see him as a visionary, as well as Michael Eisner, as well as Roy, as well as Walt. And so at this point in time, can you believe that the Walt Disney Company is the father figure, so to speak, of all of these companies, of these smaller companies? And it's the Walt Disney Studios, the Walt Disney Animation Studios, Pixar Animation Studios, Marvel Studios, Lucasfilm, Disney Theatrical Group, 20th Century Studios, Searchlight Pictures, 20th Television, ABC Entertainment, ABC News, ABC Signature, ABC Owned Television Stations, Disney Branded Television, Freeform, FX, Hulu Originals, Hulu, National Geographic, Disney Plus, Hotstar, Disney Music Group. I mean, they...
That's it? That's quite honestly, I would have thought it was more.
I didn't mention... That was like a
32nd of what they actually own.
Yeah.
Who runs ESPN, the world?
Disney. ESPN they Plus. Run it. I mean, I could go into, you know, I already mentioned the parks, didn't mention Aulani, didn't mention Disney, you know, Walt Disney Imagineering, Shop Disney, their merchandise, their entire merchandise line, Disney Publishing Worldwide, they write books, they, you know, you know, Disney Vacation, I mean, the brand, the park.
Shout out to our DVC members.
Here, here. Disney has no limits, no bounds. And it is, you know, I'd say it's in most people's heart. Isn't there, correct me if I'm wrong, because I know I'm the youngling here, but you know how there's like the seven wonders of the world? Isn't there like the seven things that everyone knows about, no matter your language? It's like the Pope is one of them. Disney is in those top seven things that everyone knows, no matter who you are. It's there. I'm going to look it up real quick while you guys have whatever discussion.
Well, while you know, Stephanie's looking, go ahead, Kelton.
I was going to say, I don't know about the seven, but I could definitely tell you the eighth wonder of the world.
Which is?
The backside of water. Yeah, Jungle Cruise puns. Go ahead, Tara, take
that
us away.
That is true. Well, while Stephanie looks that up, we'll take this time to talk about our social media. And we've mentioned it, I think, before, but our group on Facebook, Mouse Ears Podcast group on Facebook. If you're not in there already, make sure you join and take part in the discussions. And we, you know, we poll there sometimes to see what other topics people want to hear about. We're also on Instagram, Mouse Ears blog, and we are all on social media. Kelton, where can people find you?
So I'm on Facebook at Fairy Tale Journeys by Kelton. You can find me on Instagram and TikTok at FTJ Travel by Kelton. Check me out, people.
Brooks, how about you?
So you can find me on Facebook at Fairy Tale Journeys by Brooks. You can find me on Instagram and on TikTok, FTJ by Brooks. And Joffrey's Coffee. You can find me, FTJ by Brooks, at gmail.com.
They are going to do it one day.
They are. I have faith. You see, now, Brooks, this is you being a visionary like Walt and just believing. You just believe in it all the way that Joffrey's is coming, going to come around.
Joffrey's and Voodoo Donuts, come on.
Stephanie, where can people find you?
You guys can find me on Instagram at, I'm drawing a blank here, FTJ by Stephanie PG, or on Facebook at Fairy Tale Journeys Travel by Stephanie Pregentio. Oh my gosh, guys, I can't.
You pulled the
skeleton.
You can't remember your social.
Seriously.
It'll be in the show notes.
And I'll try and find the answer to, does everyone around the world, no matter who you are, where you live, does everyone know know the Disney brand? I will find out and I will put it on Facebook and we can have an active conversation there about it.
I think I have heard, like what you're saying, that Mickey Mouse, at least for sure, everybody knows Mickey Mouse.
Something to that effect.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kira, how about you on social? What do you got?
I'm on Facebook and on Instagram at Fairy Tale Journeys by Kara, Kara with a K, and on TikTok at DizKara, D-I-S underscore Kara on TikTok. And I think that's it for all our socials, right? So if you're looking to plan a trip, definitely reach out to one of us and we will help you get that all set up at no extra cost to you. So thanks everybody so much for listening to this episode of the Mouse Ears Podcast. And also listen, guys, we're recording this, it's mid-October. There is a whole lot of time left in 2023, a whole lot of time left for this Disney 100 celebration, for you to get to the parks, check it out and celebrate and do soaring over California. Because it's amazing. Smell those orange groves. Until next time, we will see you later.
Bye, everybody.
See you later, bye, everyone.